Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially to you, Hudson. Hudson, it's been kind of a long 2 years, hasn't it? Each and every week you came to class and I would ask you so many questions about the lesson you have to answer. I remember you counting all the questions and the lines of the lesson just to see if it would be a long one or a short one. Hudson, it's been a long few weeks for you, hasn't it? I gave you all of those questions for examination with the answers, told you to study them, and here you were in front of church answering over 100 questions of what you have learned and what you have believed. And today, you're going to be standing forward in front of everyone. I even have more questions to ask you if you confess that you believe what you have been taught. See, the point of confirmation and catechism is all about asking questions, focusing on God's word to help us grow in our faith. But usually it was me asking the questions and you answering them. A few weeks ago, Hudson, you were the one who asked me a question that was very interesting. You picked your confirmation passage and you asked me, what's the point of a confirmation passage? And I don't remember how I answered his question, but as I was preparing this sermon on your confirmation passage, I thought about your question. What is the point of a confirmation passage? What's the purpose? The purpose, Hudson, for a confirmation passage is that as you continue to live your life for Christ, you can look back on your passage to give you encouragement and comfort. And the passage that you have chosen certainly gives us comfort and encouragement, for it tells us to continue to be faithful. And there are three questions about your confirmation passage I want us to focus on. What does it mean to be faithful? To what extent are we to be faithful? And what is the result of us being faithful? But why was this passage spoken in the first place? It wasn't spoken to just one person. It was actually spoken to an entire congregation. Before your passage, Hudson, God had this to say to the people. I know your afflictions and your poverty. I know the slander. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution. This church was being persecuted in one way and another, and God knew that. And yet God told them that they were going to continue to suffer for some time. So imagine you were a member of that congregation. You were told that you are going to suffer for some time. What would be going through your mind? You might be tempted to give up the faith so that you would no longer be hated, persecuted, or even put to death for what you believe. But this is where God, despite of all of their persecution, says to them, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. God wants us all to continue to be faithful. So what does it mean to be faithful? There are two answers to that question. One, to be faithful means that we continue to live our lives of sanctification. And Hudson, you know what that word means. Sanctification means to be holy, to be set apart. We as Christians are set apart as God's people in this world to live holy lives as He has intended. We are to obey His commands. We are to submit our lives to His will. For as we do so, we put our faith into practice instead of becoming lazy in our faith and are tempted to leave the faith. And so, Hudson, you are promising to continue to be faithful to God on this day. But here's the thing, Hudson. I know you're not going to be faithful. And I don't say this to pick on you. I'm not saying that you are going to fall away from the faith. I say that you are not going to be faithful because you haven't been faithful. I know that you will not be faithful because I have not been faithful. I know that you will not be faithful because each and every person here has not been faithful. We have not been perfectly faithful to God, living our lives wholly as He wants us to be. And why is that? Hudson, you know why. It is because Adam and Eve fell into sin. God made us perfect and holy. We were created in His image. But Adam and Eve were unfaithful to God. And we saw the results of that sin in the first lesson we heard this morning. That when they fell into sin, the right thing for them to do was to confess to God what they had done, asking for His forgiveness. But what did they do? They tried to hide from God. They didn't want their sins to be exposed. And when their sin was exposed and God confronted Adam, did he confess his sins to God? No. Instead, he shifted the blame upon his wife. He even shifted the blame upon God, for he said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Essentially, he was saying, "God, this never would have happened except for the fact that you gave me this woman." And when God confronted Eve, did she confess her sin? No. She shifted the blame upon Satan and said, "He is the one to blame for my unfaithfulness." So Hudson, think about this. If Satan could make Adam and Eve, who were perfect and holy, to become unfaithful, how much more easily can Satan make us, who are not holy and perfect, to be unfaithful? We have inherited that original sin from Adam and Eve. As we sang in this psalm, "Surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." By nature, we are enemies of God. We cannot submit to His law, nor do we desire to do so. But Hudson, you and I have been brought to faith. Through the Word and the sacraments, God has created the new man in us that desires to do God's will. And yet we still remain unfaithful to God. We fall into His temptations, and the right thing for all of us to do is to confess our sins to God, asking for His forgiveness, but we don't always do that, do we? Just like Adam and Eve, we can try to hide our sins from God. We don't want them to be exposed, and we think that we can hide them. But God sees them all. Just like Adam, we may shift the blame upon God and say, "God, this never would have happened except you were the one who put me in this situation to be tempted in this way." And yet we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Lord, lead us not into temptation," asking Him to give us strength to fight against those temptations. And yet when those temptations come, we unfaithfully fail to pray to God for strength, and yet we have the audacity to still blame Him. Or just like Eve, we can shift the blame to Satan and say, "It's the devil. He made me do it." Satan tempts, but we willfully fall into his temptations. And Hudson, you know what we deserve because of our sin: eternal death in hell. So how can we possibly be faithful to God as He tells us to do here? Well, remember I said there are two answers to what does it mean to be faithful. The other aspect of being faithful is to remember what the word faith means. Faith, by its very definition, means to trust. Hudson, in whom do we put our trust? We put our trust in Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is both true God and true man. Why is Jesus Christ both true God and true man? One reason is that He was true man so that He could be born under the law in our place, and He was true God to live a perfect life for us. He willingly obeyed all of God's commands. He submitted His life to God. Therefore, the faithful thing for us to do is to confess to God that we cannot save ourselves, but we put our full trust in Christ, who was perfect for us, and for his sake, God saves us. And now, out of thanks and gratitude, we live our lives of sanctification, thanking God for what he has done for us. That's what it means to be faithful. But now our next question, Hudson, is to what extent are we continue to be faithful? Your confirmation passage says, be faithful even to the point of death. Hudson, very soon you will be standing here and you will be asked this question. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this teaching and to endure all things, even death, rather than fall away from it? And you will answer, I do, and I ask God to help me. Hudson, it is our prayer that you will continue to be faithful to God and not to fall away from him. It is our prayer that each and every one of us will continue to be faithful to God and his word and not to fall away from him. But Hudson, possibly right now, Satan is tempting you to think that confirmation is like graduation. That since you are being confirmed, you are graduating from church and his word, and you no longer need it. He may be tempting you to think that you know everything about God and his word right now, therefore you don't have to go back to church and read his word. Soon, you will be entering high school and possibly college, and there Satan is going to tempt you to think that you don't need God and his word because living a life as a Christian isn't popular. It's not fun. It doesn't fit in with the crowd. You're going to stick out like Jesus, as we heard in the gospel, and people thought that Jesus was crazy, out of his mind, and demon-possessed. And so he will tempt you that you can throw away your faith so that you will fit in. Lord willing, you will graduate, become married, have a family, and Satan can tempt you to think that you don't need God and his word because you're so busy with work and you're so busy taking care of your family. And certainly, yes, we have to work and take care of our family. But the most important thing is to nurture our children in the faith and for you to continue to feed your soul upon his word. And if it is the Lord's will that he gives you a long life, Satan can still tempt you to think that you don't need God and his word anymore because you have been so faithful to God for so long. There's no way that you could fall away from him. And throughout it all, Hudson, anytime we face persecution, hardship, or pain, Satan is constantly tempting us to throw away the faith and to give it up. These are the temptations that you will face, Hudson. These are the temptations that we all face. And to our shame, we don't always fight against those temptations in one way or another. So how can we possibly be faithful even to the point of death? The answer to that question is once again found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was faithful to God even to the point of death. That was the very reason that Jesus came here, to die for us. The other reason why Jesus is true God and true man is so that as true man, he could die on the cross for our sins, and as true God, his death could count for everyone. Hudson, you are saved because of Christ. But we don't worship a Christ who is dead. We worship Christ who has raised from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at God's right hand, which means that he is ruling over all things for you, Hudson. He is ruling over all things for us. Therefore, we rely on him and him alone to give us the power to continue to be faithful to him. He has promised that nothing will snatch us from his hand. Therefore, let us not be tempted to turn away from God, but to turn to God, trusting in him and praying to him for help. And God will certainly answer that prayer. As we heard this morning, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Which brings us to the final question for your confirmation passage. What is the result of being faithful to God? Here God says, I will give you the crown of life. Hudson, time and time and time again in catechism instruction, I told you that we do not earn or deserve anything from God. We don't earn His love, His forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. Therefore, do not think that because you have been faithful to God, you have somehow earned this crown of life. Rather, purely out of grace, His undeserved love for us, God graciously gives you and I and everyone here this crown of life. Christ is victorious over sin, death, and the devil, and He gives us that victory. We are victorious over sin because Christ graciously forgives us. We are victorious over death because Christ graciously gives us eternal life and will raise us up on the last day. We are victorious over the devil because Christ has graciously redeemed us. He has bought us back and set us free from the devil and his power. We do not belong to him. We belong to God. And so one day, Hudson, when God calls you to your heavenly home, there you will serve God in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. You will live and serve God with complete faithfulness. That is what your confirmation passage says, Hudson. And that is why we go back to our confirmation passages to encourage and comfort us. And the encouragement and comfort your passage gives is that our God and God alone will help us to continue to be faithful even to the point of death. And He will give us the crown of life. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated for the offering, and during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.